In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words again from the reading you just heard. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. How many New Year's resolutions did you make for the year 2008? How many have you broken in the first 17 days of this new year? I stopped making New Year's resolutions years ago. Why make promises you can't keep, right? What about God? How do you feel He's doing with regard to the promises that He's made to you and to me? What about the promise I just read to you from today's reading? I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. Has God kept that promise for you, for me? Could our God, the God who created the heavens and stretched them out, not keep His promises to you and me and still be our God of love and compassion? Does He not have hold of your hand and mine at this very moment? Just think about the significance of knowing that He has hold of your hand and mine. Hand-holding brings reassurance and comfort, does it not? Couples hold hands to say they love one another. How joyful it is to hold the hand of a small baby, and how difficult to let go of that child's hand on the first day of school or at a wedding when that child is your daughter. How good it is to be able to hold the hands of parents when they are old and ill, and how sorrowful it is to feel the limp and cold hand of someone who has slipped away in death. The meaning of relationships, of love, care, intimacy, friendship, joy, and sorrow is summarized in the clasped hands of those who care. Again, what greater promise of love can our God offer to us than to say, I will take hold of your hand? There's no way we can misunderstand the meaning of what He's saying to us either. There's nothing ambiguous or gimmicky or hidden in His words. Yes, how refreshingly upfront God is when through the prophet Isaiah He says, here is my servant. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. Look again at what Isaiah is saying. God's justice is faithful, not loud, not obscene, not meted out unfairly to the weak, to the prisoners, to the ill, or the oppressed. No, to them, yes, to them, God gives breath and life, light and light, and sight, hope, and freedom. What a contrast Isaiah's description of God is to the picture of so many today who paint God as a God who is unfair or angry, a God hoping to frighten us in doing His will. And think, if you will, for a moment of how God has acted in His world since the beginning of time. All of Scripture is a telling and a retelling of what has happened between God and His people. It's not the story of a God who is far off, but the story of a God who daily walks into our lives, your lives and mine. It's the story of God entering not only history, but you and me, with His person, His Son, our servant, Lord, and King, the one who gave His all for you and for me. And John the Baptizer in Matthew's Gospel points directly at Him as He baptized him. In speaking about Him, John shows us the stance that we also must take in our relationship with our servant, Lord, and King. He is greater than I am, John said. He is greater than we are, we must also say. We struggle long and hard, though, do we not, with the concept of servanthood? We don't want our Lord and Savior to be a servant any more than we want to be servants. It's hard to try to be humble, passive, non-aggressive. The harder I try to be humble, the less I succeed. Yet if my prayer life is any kind of an example, I have to admit that the prayer, "Lord, give me strength," comes to my lips much more readily than the prayer, "Lord, make me humble." We want strength in order to be able to do great things for God while God is doing great things for us, so that in our weakness, we are strong. And this is what our God is promising to make happen when, through Isaiah, he says to us, "I, the Lord, will take hold of your hand. I will keep you." And the fulfillment of that promise began for you and for me in holy baptism. It continues each day because of the daily love and forgiveness we receive in our baptismal lives. Yes, baptism makes Christ the hub of our lives, a hub from which we can confidently look out and face life in all circumstances. Yes, because Christ is the hub of our life, we know that sin cannot do its worst on us anymore. Our failures in sin did its worst on him. And yet he lives in victory. He lives in power. And so can we. Yes, when Christ is the hub of our lives, when his love is really working and alive in us, our living becomes one long alleluia, an alleluia which cannot and does not want to be hidden from those with whom we live and work and play and go to class. I, the Lord, have called you. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. What a great promise that is for us who live in a world that is just the opposite, a world that keeps very little. A world that can best be described as throwaway, a world in which justice is a low priority. If something doesn't work, throw it away, right? Why fix it? Just replace it. It's cheaper. Think about it. Today we have very few repairmen or repairwomen. We have instead hordes of replacement men or women, in other words, salespeople. If someone is a burden, look the other way rather than try to help that person. We have throwaway bottles, throwaway pens, marriages, throwaway lives. Thank God that our servant Savior is not one to throw away anything or anyone. Listen one more time to how Isaiah describes him. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. If it doesn't work, what I really mean is if we don't meet God's standards, God does not throw us away. He sent his Son not to condemn the world, but in dying and rising again to save it. Yes, Jesus came into our world and was baptized and lived and died and rose again to save us, to open our blind eyes, to free us from the prison of sin, to release us from the darkness of death, and to give strength to us in our weakness. And because he trusts us, yes, trusts us with the care of his world, with his message of life, forgiveness, and salvation, because he trusts us with the well-being of our fellow human beings, we can begin over and over again to trust ourselves to carry out our role as the servant church in his world, to bring justice to all people, to pray for and to work for peace among all nations, to be a light to the world, to open the eyes of the blind, to set free those who are imprisoned by sin and death, and to remind us that we have the power and the strength and the will to do this. He says to us one more time, "I have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.